Matthew, the 10th chapter, and I'll just read all of the scriptures that we dealt with this morning, and then we'll start on the mamas and the grandmas. Verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." If you remember, Jesus came to bring peace on earth, goodwill to men, but he came not to send peace, but a sword, to the following: "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Your family's messed up, and that's why you're messed up. Verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." All of your problems, everything that's wrong with you, is because of your family and what you've not learned from God, but what you've learned from your family. Verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In other words, as long as you love something or someone more than the truth, you're not worthy of Jesus. I know you're saved, but I also know your life's a mess. And the reason it is because there's other people that you love more than Jesus. And as I said this morning, there's no necessity, and God doesn't want you not to love your parents at all. And he doesn't want you to not love your children at all. He just doesn't want you to love them more than you love him. Now, what he does to let you and to prove to you that your family is the problem, he starts again in verse 35, setting the man at variance with his father. Now, remember, the word variance meant to alienate, which meant to stir up or to transfer the affection from the father to God. It also meant, if you remember, sedition, that is a rebellion against the government in power. The problem is, your father, who you're a duplicate of, has power over you because you're just like him. I don't care if you don't talk to him. I don't care if you don't see him. I don't even care if the man has passed away. He's still in power because you act just like him. The next part of the word variance means, remember, to duplicate. In other words, he said, "I came to make you understand you're a double of your father. You correspond exactly. You're an exact copy or reproduction. You're a replica of your father." That's the problem, men, right? In a nutshell, to begin with. Now, remember what the word father meant. It meant the originator, the founder, the inventor, the one who has the responsibility for everything that happens later on. Now, the mother is the one who carries it and births it and then nurtures it. But the father is the one that started it. It was him to begin with. And that's the way it is when you impregnate your wife physically. You start it, she carries it, and then afterwards she nurses it, changes it, and does all kind of other disgusting things with it. Necessary things, but disgusting nonetheless. But it was your idea. And to make you understand just what a hotshot you are, hotshot, the only thing you can produce is something that's as bad as you that has no control of any kind. It can't talk, can't go to the bathroom, can't eat by itself, can't think, can't do anything. That's you. That's the best you can do. That's in its simplicity when it's first born. That's as close to perfection as that child is going to get in terms of what you are. That's all you could give to it. Now starts the job of the Lord Jesus Christ training that child to become a productive adult. But all you're capable of is producing a human being that can't do anything for themselves. That's you. One that needs everything done. So you see, it begins with the father. Now remember, as we said this morning, part of the difficulty is now you've got the children in the family have two fathers. There's your father, and there's you, who is a duplicate of each other. And because you're duplicates of one another, you're always fighting with one another. That's why you're always saying one thing and doing something else. That's the way your dad is. Now, when you say you're going to do something and then don't do it, when you say you're going to do it, you're like you. And when you don't do it, you're like your father. So see, you're battling with yourself. That's because you got a sword in your gut. It's called the Word of God. But you see, God also said, now I have another problem. Now that I've got you men squarely in your place, now it's Mama's turn. He says in the same scripture, he says, I'm also going to set at variance the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So see, here the ladies get a double whammy. See, ladies, you don't like anybody. You don't like your mother, and you don't like his mother. Yet, you're just like him. So you see what God is saying. Now I have to show you that you have a different personality problem. The man's bad enough. He's a double of his own father. But you're four. You're a double of your mother, and then you turn around, you're a double of his mother. Can't stand either one of them, by the way. But you're not too thrilled about yourself either. Then your husband can't stand your mother-in-law. Doesn't want to admit he can't stand his own mother. So what does he do? Since you're like both of them, he takes it out on you. Can you see what a confused mess we live in without the Lord? Can you see why marriage is a bad deal without the Lord? Can you see that no matter what we put together, it'll never stay together unless God puts it together? Now I'm going to tell you something. God isn't trying to take your marriage apart. He's trying to put it together. It's a mess the way that it is. Why? Because you're a mess. So now he says, I have to set a daughter at variance against her mother. Again, that means to alienate and to duplicate. In other words, the reason you hate her so much is because you're just like her. And incidentally, that's why she's not so thrilled about you. Because you see, everything that she is that she shouldn't be, you are too. And it's bad enough she's got to see it every morning when she's curling her own hair. But then now and then she's got to run into you too and see it again. And then she runs into your mama, which she's not too thrilled about, and there you are again. What a mess. Can't get away from yourself, can you? Duplicates all over the place. Smurfs. They all look alike. They all act alike. Little Smurfettes all over the place. So see, now you have the daughter in variance against her mother. Now the word mother means, it comes from the Greek word meter. And a meter is something that measures things and regulates things. Am I getting across to you, meters? See, the father is the pater. That's where we get the word paternal. But you are meters. Now meters are used to gauge, to regulate, and to measure. Now you show me a woman that doesn't love to regulate, measure, and control, and I'll show you a man in a woman's clothes. All women want to be meters. That's what their name means. They can't stand to be anything else. That's why they need a strong man to take the meter out of mater. See, you're all meter maids. That's what's wrong with you. So to get this thing in perspective, the father is the originator, the founder, and the one who gives response, who takes the responsibility for whatever starts. The mother or meter, on the other hand, gives birth to that something that the father started and then nurtures what it gives birth to. You know, the father being the originator, the founder, and the mother giving birth and then nurturing that thing is the best argument I've ever heard for birth control. Because you see, what's birthed and what's nurtured is nothing more than little smurfs of your mama and dad. Now the battle is on. Dad wants him to be like his mom and dad, and mom wants him to be like hers. And it doesn't matter because they're both the same, and you can't stand yours, you can't stand your kids, you can't stand your mother, you can't stand her, and you don't see they're all the same. They're one and the same, they're duplicates. They're clones of one another. But you see, because you can't see straight, you can only see the goodness in your parents and the faults in hers. Now see, here's what happens. Your parents have good points and bad points. Her parents have good points and bad points. But because you're not thinking right, you only see the good points in your parents and none of the bad, and you see only the bad points in her parents and none of the good. And between the two, that's your parents. Your good and their bad is really your parent. Wives, you're the same way. You can only see the good parts of your parents, but not the bad. And you can only see the bad in his parents, but not the good. So if you put them both together, as you look at the good points of your parents and the bad points of his, you really have a true picture of your parents and a true picture of yourself, by the way. So now, what does this father and mother give birth to? Well, first of all, you need to understand what mother means. See, the father is responsible for what the mother births, but he's also responsible for what the mother nurtures. See, mothers have to nurture. You know what the word nurture means? Nurse. That's why women make the best nurses. Now, you need to understand what nurse means so you can... People say, well, she has the maternal instinct. And women make better parents, and we're more sensitive. No, you're just nurses, that's all. Now, let me tell you what the word nurse means. Because, see, you nurse what he started. Now, let me tell you how you nurse. Nurse or nurture, or nurse, rather nurture, means the process of promoting the development of something. In other words, you want that thing that you birthed to grow. You want it to develop. Nurture also means the training, the rearing, the upbringing, the fostering, and the education of something. So can you see that implicit in the name mother, she wants to do the training. She wants to do the rearing, she wants to do the upbringing, she wants to do the fostering, and she wants to do the educating. But God said, no, no, no. I suffer not a woman to teach and usurp authority over the man. Now, some of you get all excited and say, oh, that means that I should not say anything in a teaching fashion to my husband. And you're right, you shouldn't. But you see, this also says that you are not supposed to take the training away from your husband, the rearing, the upbringing, the fostering, and the education. Now, he should do it, and you should nurture it. You should develop what the husband is doing, not take it over yourself. So you see, this nurturing woman wants to promote the development of what she birthed. She wants to train it. She wants to rear it, bring it up, foster it, and educate it. Now, how does she do that? By nursing. You know what the word nurse means? She gives milk. Literally, that's what the word nurse means. It means she gives milk. Now, men, any one of you men that give milk, you're in deep trouble. That's why in this church you will find we pass out meat here. I do not have any intention of being your wet nurse and telling you what you want to hear. A nurse also, let me tell you why you don't need a nurse for a pastor, and you don't need a nurse in your family training your children. Because nurse means a person trained to take care of the sick, the injured, or the aged. It means a person that fosters or protects the sick, the injured, or the aged. Now, in order for the woman to be the nurse, you have to be sick, injured, or aged. In other words, you have to be helpless. Why is it that you don't, why is it that you can see that the woman hates for the man to tell the child, get up and do that yourself? You want them to be dependent. You want them not to be able to do anything, because then they call on you, nurse. Florence Nightingale puts on her hat right away with her white pantyhose, and she's running all over the place looking for somebody to nurse. And I say, child, get up and do it yourself. You're not criminal. Oh, she's just a child, just a baby. Are you kidding me? You see, what's happening here, it behooves the woman to keep everybody around them, either sick, injured, or aged, incapacitated in some fashion or another. That's the only way you can be a nurse. That's the only way you can nurture. That's the only way you can be the mother. That's the only way that you can do it. So the minute the man starts showing independence and subsistence on his own without you depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, you panic. Because there's one you can't nurse. And then he says to the children, I'm taking over here, and you're not running to her for everything. Now she panics again. Two people she can't nurse. So what does she do? She gets sick. Now she's got somebody to nurse. You're sick, lady. There's something deeply wrong with you. You got to be put away. You belong in the funny farm. You're cuckoo. Women are stupid creatures. You know that? Now, someone say, well, did he mean us? Who else am I talking to? Why would I say it to you if I meant someone else? I'd go outside and I'd find someone else. I'm talking to you, ladies, all of you. You are stupid people. You don't know this about yourself. You thought that that inherent maternal loving instinct that you thought you had was a good thing. And I'm telling you what it is. It makes a nurse, and that's what keeps your children dependent. That's why you're constantly looking for a man who's, quote, sensitive. Who, quote, lets you be a 50-50 partner. You want someone to nurse. And then you want children to nurse on top of that. Because, you see, you don't want a child that's growing up depending on the father. You want him depending on the nurse. And that's why it's necessary for the child to be sick or always injured. There's always, this kind of child, there's always something wrong with him. Why? Because they know that that kind of behavior will get from the nurse the protection and the fostering that she wants. Whereas the father, if he's right, will say, get up and do it yourself. You know, there's only one thing more sickening than a woman who's a nurse, and that's a man who's a nurse. I'll take that back. There's only one thing worse than that, a man who wants to be nursed. That's probably the most pathetic creature on the face of this earth. A man who turns his wife into his mother so he can be nursed. A man who goes down the tubes because his wife looks at him cross-eyed or isn't happy about this or that. I don't care, lady, what you're happy or not happy about. Don't make me know, never mind. I don't really care. Why would I care what a stupid, ignorant person thinks? Why would I want to satisfy someone who isn't satisfied unless you're sick, injured, or aged? What am I going to do? Go take some pills to get sick? Or maybe I should have them run over myself with my van so I can be injured, so I can be your friend. Forget it. Who needs you? If I have to be sick, injured, or incapacitated in some way for you to be comfortable around me, then be discomforted. Be uncomfortable. You see, but the nurse has got to have this. And incidentally, that's why she's so attractive. Look. Mothers, I'm going to tell you something. Your children don't love you. They're playing you for a fool. They know all they have to do is act sick, injured, or aged. And they've got you wrapped right around their little finger because you'll do whatever. It brings out the nurse in you. Immediately, you run for the milk. So your children are smarter than you are. I like the kids. What I ought to do is get a class of the kids and use them as the example so you can learn from them. They're smarter than you are. You know why? Because they listen with an open mind. They haven't had as much time to be perverted by their parents, you, as you have by your parents. That's why they're smarter than you are. The word nurse also means to handle something cautiously and carefully. In other words, you act like the kids are breakable or something. You act like they have to be handled with tender kid gloves. No, they don't. Watch them when they're outside playing. They smack each other around. They run and jump over. And then they get in the house, and all of a sudden, they can't do anything. You got to get a spoon, get the soup, and it runs down. And you go like that and put it back in there. You either eat it or wear it in my house. I'm not going to spoon feed anybody. But you see, the nurse wants to handle someone cautiously and carefully. The word nurse also means to clasp, to hold, and to fondle. See, and forever that imprints your children to equate loving with fondling and holding. So the minute they get into junior high school and somebody comes and fondles them, they're in love. Did I say high school? Junior high. Did I say junior high? Grade school. Did I say grade school? Kindergarten. They're already fondling. They're already playing the games, you know, they're touching each other. Because, see, they equate love with fondling. Where'd they learn that from you? The nurse? The one who handles cautiously and carefully? The one who shows her love by carefully fondling and caressing and holding. Why? Because that's the way you were handled. And everybody that comes along who carefully and cautiously holds you and fondles you, you're in love. For the umpteenth time this week. You see, moms, you trained your children wrong. You perverted every family that woman will ever be in, just the way it was done in the garden. The Garden of Eden is lived over and over and over because you did it, Eve. You're doing it in your children, and Grandma, you did it to the one that we're dealing with. You're all cut from the same cloth. There's something wrong with you. You're duplicates of one another. You see, the nurse needs you to be sick. She needs you to be injured. She needs you to be aged, or she cannot be a nurse. See, the minute you've got people who are self-sustaining, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ through the man, we're out of the nurse business. You can hang up your uniform, and that panics you. That panics all women because they haven't learned up until tonight what's wrong with them. So you see, the father and mother is where the problem begins. But how did this happen? See, now I'm going to be an advocate for the children for a minute, and I'm going to share with you the confusing mess that's in every family. First of all, the man is made a duplicate of his father, or he's shown that he's a duplicate of his father. So now we got two men in the house at odds with one another. Now, the woman was attracted to you, man, because you're just like her father. So in reality, we've got three. Now we compound the problem even worse. The daughter becomes the duplicate of her mother. So now your wife, who is her mother's daughter, becomes a duplicate of her mother. So now you've got two more women. Now her daughter becomes a duplicate of her, which is your child. Now you've got three. But you're not done yet. Now she's at variance with your mother. So now we got the fifth woman who's at variance with your mother, men. That makes six. And now her daughter, your daughter, is now at variance or a duplicate of your mother. So now we got seven women in the house. I mean, this is a mess. And now this poor child who you say, I don't understand why this child doesn't mind me. The child doesn't understand all of these people with all this authority. Because one minute you're acting like your mother, the next minute you're acting like his. The next minute you're acting like you, the next minute he's acting like his father. All these people with all this authority. Kids are going cuckoo. Why do you think I have more control over your children than you do? Because you see, they don't have to deal with my grandfather. I have none. They don't have to deal with all of the, I've cut the ties with all those things. They still exist. Now I have a father, but my children have a father, my father, their father's father is what they have. As far as I'm concerned, they have no grandfather. He does not outrank me. I'm a growing man now. But let's get back to the message here. This child is now stuck with all these people. Of equal authority, by the way. Now, child means an infant or a baby. It means a boy or girl in the period before puberty. It also means an immature and a childish person. It means a helpless, timid person. So you see, God gives you this helpless, timid person who has no maturity and gives that child to you for you to train. So see, father and mother have a child who in reality is a baby, an infant, a helpless person. And that's the way God intended it to be. So see, you as the father and you as the mother outrank your child. Your child is a helpless, timid person. Perfect arrangement. Until grandma and grandpa come in and mess it up for you. And let me tell you how they do it. You see, you are the father and you are the mother and they are the children. You are superior. But now you as a father all of a sudden are outranked because your father becomes a grandfather. Now grandfather outranks father. Now the minute your father becomes a grandfather and you recognize him as a grandfather, you're outranked. Now his wife, your mother, becomes a grandmother. Now you're wife is outranked. Ah, but the plot thickens. Now this grandfather and this grandmother get together and turn your child, a helpless, timid person, into a grandchild. Now everybody outranks you. That's why you're on the bottom part of the totem pole. That's why the kids say, why should I deal with you? My grandfather and my grandmother said, I am a grandchild, and you're just a mere father and mother. Can you see when Jesus said, you better study, you better divide the word, you better understand that the words that you're speaking are the ones that justify or condemn? I've told you this before. You can go to any hospital you want. You can go to any clinic you want. You can go to any doctor on the face of this earth, psychiatrist, psychologist. I don't care what kind of ologists there are. You're a urologist for all I care, gynecologist, any kind of an ologist. And they won't know this. They can't tell you this. They don't have this wisdom because they don't go to the Word. Only Jesus, only God can show you these things, and you know they're true. So now we have a grandfather, a grandmother, and grandchildren. Boy, you're in deep trouble now, parents. Let me tell you what this word grand means. This is the legacy that your mother and your father, and this is how they've perverted your children. They have now made them grandchildren. Not shy, helpless, timid persons. Now they're grandchildren. You know what the word grand means? Full grown and great. You show me a child who's influenced by the grandparents, even if it's through the parents, and I'll show you a child who thinks they're full grown. You say to them, don't do that. That's, I don't think, no, that's not right. They know more than you do. See, the roles are reversed. Now they become the parents, and you're the child. Why? And let me tell you why. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here, but let me tell you how this gets perverted. See, he's the grandfather, she's the grandmother, and they're the grandchildren. Now, they outrank you. See, your father and your mother outrank you because they're a grandfather and a grandmother. So the two of them outrank you. But remember this, you are your mother's child, and you are your father's child. So as parents, you are the child of your parents. But now your parents have changed your child into a grandchild. So now, child of your parents, you are outranked by your own children. Because you are not your mother's grandchild, you are just your mother's child. But your child is your mother's grandchild. So now, as a father, you're outranked by your father. As a mother, you're outranked by your mother. And as a child or a son and daughter of your own parents, you're outranked by the grandchild in your own house. That's why nobody pays attention to you. See, this is the way the family gets perverted. And I submit to you, psychiatrists and psychologists can study the family structure until they're purple. I learned this in 2 days without talking to any of you sickies, by the way. I didn't have to study and make case histories of 10,000 sick people that have the problem. What are you going to learn from people that have the problem? How to have the problem. I want to know what to do about it. See, they study the wrong thing. They say, now, let's study all the people that have this problem. So they study the people and how they got that and what's wrong with them. Then they say, oh, now we have the answer. What's the answer? We know how they got that way. Big deal. What are they going to do about it? Well, we don't know that yet, but we have the answer. We know what happened. Well, that's not going to help you any. That's like getting the license plate number of the truck that ran over you. How is that going to help your busted leg, dummy? It isn't. So you see, now you have a full-grown child who incidentally knows how to manipulate. She doesn't get the answer she wants from dad, she runs to mom. And if mom starts getting wise, then she limps to mom. If she's got to get some, she's got to bring out the nurse and mom. Or she'll do one of these, oh, mother dear. It's all a play on your sympathy, on your nursing. Because you see, she's full grown now, or he is full grown, because they're a grandchild. And as a result of that, you don't have a word left in any of the situations. What do? You run for your belt. That'll work for a while, but before long, they're going to get as big or bigger than you are. Then they're going to beat the hell out of you later on. Now, I understand that there's a lot of child abuse going on in the world right now. Parents beating their children. But do you know there's just as much or more of teenagers beating their parents and their grandparents? There's more abuse going that way. Why? Because they didn't want to learn this when it was time. Let me tell you what else the word grand means. It means higher in rank, higher in status, higher in dignity than others having the same title. Now you have the title, unfortunately, because you're not growing yet, you are still your mother's baby. You are still your daddy's little baby. You're a child yet. So see, because you're a child, you and your child have an equal title. Now the minute that child becomes a grandchild, now they're higher in rank, higher in status, higher in dignity than others having the same title. You've lost your position. Hopelessly lost. And the only way you're going to regain it is the way you lost it. You must stop this grandmother, grandfather, grandchild mentality, because that's the one that stripped you of your authority. You're just a father. You're just a mother. You'll never be a grandmother or a grandfather to your own children. You can't allow that kind of stuff. That's why Jesus said, I came to set you at variance with your father and at variance with your mother and at variance with your mother-in-law, because that's what's perverting the children, which perverts the relationship between children and parents, which perverts the whole thing. And Jesus cannot have dominion in the family because everybody's in authority except the right person. Let me tell you what else happens when your mama, mother, makes your daughter or your son a grandchild. Grand also means the most important, the chief one, the main one, and the principal. So see, what happens is your children are constantly taking you to the principal, aren't they? Can you see that you've lost your position? You've lost all your authority, and you did it in the name of love, by the way. Grand also means imposing because of beauty and very handsome. I can always tell who the grandmothers are. They always think their children are so beautiful and handsome. I got news for you. If you can sit in front of the mirror and tell yourself, I am the most beautiful, handsome person I've ever seen, don't lie and say that about your kids. They look just like you. Now, you couldn't sell the idea that you're imposing because of your beauty and your handsomeness. You couldn't sell that to a blind person. But you believe it about your own, who happens to look just like you and acts worse, by the way. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't get this enlightenment, if you don't take this light, you will never see what's going on right in your own home. That's where you're being undermined. That's where you're losing the whole thing. Why is it when Jesus Christ comes into a family and starts setting people at variance one against the other, if you don't get it, you run. You just can't stand the heat. Because Jesus said, you're going to do it, or you're history partner. It's going to be one way or the other. And I'm talking to all of you. It doesn't matter which one you are. The word grand also means self-important and haughty and delightful and admirable and full and complete. That's why you can't tell a grandchild anything when grandma's there. Notice this. It's almost like the child becomes, well, they do, they become a different person. I've watched it. I've watched, and when the grandmother and the grandfather walk into the room, boom, all of a sudden, you've got a different, no longer a child. Something, they become a grandchild. Because they know this person who has authority over you has walked into the room and elevated them to a position above you. They're all grand, and you're just a mere punt, mere child of God, mere Christian, mere spiritual head of the house. God, that's perverted. Can you see what's actually happening in the families? And listen, you know where Satan loves to do this the most? In Christian families. Now, he's not proud. He'll do it in all of them. But he goes especially hard on these because he knows the Christian has the potential to see this if they ever find a pastor who will spend 15 minutes in the Word and study it. And they'll find a pastor who isn't afraid of you and doesn't care what you think, but tells you what you need to hear. and didn't come to send peace but a sword, and right in the gut if that's where you need it. Now it's important to know, you say, well, what are we going to do? I mean, grandparents are grandparents. Oh, no, they're not. I'm going to share with you how you created the parents into grandparents. And if you want to continue to do it, you go right ahead, but you created it, you're going to live with it. Now understand this. Now in this perverted family, we have a grandfather, we have a grandmother, we have a grandson, and we have a granddaughter. That's the perversion of this whole thing. And remember what grand meant. It means basically three things: higher in rank, higher in status, higher in dignity. So now the grandfather is higher in rank. He has a higher position, eminence. He has a higher official position or an official grade. So now he's above the father because he's the grandfather. But you make the grandchild the same thing, and now they're higher in rank. But it's not over. Now you get higher in status. Status means a position with regard to law, prestige. This is what you're doing for your, this is what you're giving to your parents. You're making them higher in rank, higher in eminence, higher in official grade and official position. Then you make them higher in status, a position with regard to law, prestige. And then you make them higher in dignity. And dignity means the quality of being worthy of esteem or honor. Now you get married, and God says he's the one who's highest in rank, highest in status, and highest in dignity. And that's why your parents get upset at yours truly, because I tell you, you're the one in authority, not mom and dad. The rank and the position and the status and the dignity belongs to you as the father. Secondarily to the mother, and then thirdly, to the children. Nowhere in here is there made provision for a grandfather and a grandmother. And nowhere does God recognize a grandchild. He recognizes a child, a shy, timid, helpless person that he gave to two grown adults to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you've got it perverted. Now understand what you've done to yourself now. You are a father. He is a grandfather. He outranks you. Moms, you are a mother, but she is a grandmother. There again, you're cut off at the pass. You are outranked, outstatused, and outdignified because they're grand and you're not. Now, this grandfather and grandmother turn your children into a grandson and a granddaughter. Now, let me tell you what the problem is, because you haven't grown up. You're still your parents' son and daughter. So to your father, you are a son. To your mother, ladies, you are a daughter. Because you haven't grown up. You haven't taken this thing to heart. So now you have a title in your parents' eyes that's equal with your own children. You have a son, you have a daughter, they have a son, they have a daughter, so you're all equal. Well, that's not good. See, you are a son and you have a son. You are a daughter and you have a daughter. But now the son becomes a grandson, and he outranks you because you're still a son to your father. So your son, who's a grandson because of your grandfather, now outranks you. So as a father, you're outranked. As a son, you're outranked by your own children. Mother, the same thing for you. As a mother, you're outranked by the grandmother. So you're not a mother anymore. You become the daughter of your mother. You lose your status. Now, as a daughter of your mother, you're equal with your own daughter. Now, grandmother turns granddaughter into your daughter into a granddaughter. Now, your daughter is over you. And then the man, poor guys, we get a bad deal, you know? I'm convinced you better check a whole lot more than how she looks and what she does before you ask her if she will. Because, you see, you're buying into a bad deal here. Because you don't understand really what you think love and affection and a desire to kiss and fondle is love. No, it isn't. It can be, but it isn't. You better check out a whole lot more here and see what you're buying into before you bite the bullet. Because after a while, you may put the bullet in between your eyes. That's what will do you the most good. But now, son, because you won't grow up, because you won't be the spiritual head, you, son, now your son becomes a grandson, and he outranks you. Same thing for the daughter. Now, grandfather outranks father, you lose. Grandmother outranks mother, you still lose. As the children of your parents, now your children outrank you, so you lose again. So now, how do we get... Now the ladies say, wait a minute, what am I going to do here? Now, ladies, I'm going to share with you how grandmother perverts you. See, you're married to someone now who's mama's son and daddy's son. So they outrank him. Your children outrank him. There's nobody left for him to boss but you. So all of a sudden you say, now my child got out of this by becoming a grandchild. How do I do it? I become a grandmother. Now you have to act just like your mother and your husband's mother, and that makes you a duplicate of them, makes you a grandmother. Now you outrank the man too. Now everybody's outranking the man. Can you see how Satan has done a complete end run around the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual head that he placed there? And can you see why your family cannot be touched with a 10-foot pole by the Lord Jesus Christ because of your total ignorance of the word? Because you sit there and you think that salvation and hallelujah and amen is all there is to Christianity. It's the beginning. It's the door. It's the opening. It's how you get in. But my God, there's a whole life out there. Everything that permeates in your family, all of the day-to-day things that happen, depend on you having this right order. Now what happens? God sends this mess to me. And he says, now you be the spiritual head, and I got all these grandchildren and all these kids here. And I say, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to put a sign over the door and call intensive care unit. And I thank God he sends us the worst, because he equips us to do. No Band-Aids here. There's no milk and there's no aspirin, no Tylenol. We don't pass out that. We do surgery. We get in and we find out what's wrong, and then we just cut a circle around, then you have to make a decision. But you see, what's happened here is everybody's outranking the man. Can you understand how important it is for the man to be in the position that God placed him in? Can you understand why the whole tactic is to try to undermine the authority that God vests in this pulpit and the man that he stood behind it? Because that's the only thing you understand. What do you want, a grand pastor? You can forget it. A grand preacher? You can forget that too. See, God wants you to understand that this whole problem is because there's a perversion in the family. Because all this grandness and all these changes that we make, and they have no substance. So now you see, the wife is a duplicate at variance against her own mother. Then she becomes a duplicate at variance against the mother-in-law, the husband's mother. But it's not over yet. We need more confusion in this family. We don't have enough yet. So she turns her mother and her mother-in-law into grandmother. See what they're doing? They're ganging up on the only man left. The only authority, they're ganging up on him. And look at some of your own lives. Tell me who hates yours truly the most. The father says, no. I'm busy. I'm watching TV. It's important. But your mothers, they get together and say, what's going on in there, church? What is the matter with that guy? I've given her the best years of my life. There's something wrong. Jim Jones. And they give you all that. They're upset. See, they're trying to make this unholy alliance to try to undermine the authority, just like they did with you, man. It's not working now, though, is it? Listen, I wouldn't do it for my mother. Why am I going to do it for yours? I don't like your mother. I don't even like you. So you see, I'm not going to have this thing. So now here's what we have. Two fathers, four mothers, two grandfathers. So the child plays 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Grandmother. Who don't we appreciate? Mere son and daughter. They're playing the 2, 4, 6, 8 game. Who do we appreciate? Who do we place value on? Who do we... You go out and get drunk and slobber physically. And then you act out physically what you've been spiritually. A drunken, no account, of no consequence individual who can only feel like a man when he's drunk. Here's where I was going to tell you what happened tomorrow, that he doesn't even know what's happening today. But you see, what's happening here, mentally. Now, if I can succeed in putting your mind back on the circumstances, back on today, back on the reality, this mental blah never works, does it? You've sat here, all of you, in counseling. I said, why? Tell me why. Well, I don't know. Well, then why? How can it be? You know, there's no source. And the minute we talk about it logically, you walk out here and say, oh, thanks, Brother Reuben. I feel so much better. Proper time. You agree. Didn't do anything. And now it's high time. Past the proper time, but it's still not too late. And that's when you start having all your indecisions out there. And little by little, you slip right back into it. And then you come back for the next service, stepping on your lower lip. And sometimes I can see the blahs in you. They just come right out of you. Now, let me tell you how this wear-out thing works. I wish I could finish this, but I'm not going to. I'll finish it Sunday, Lord willing. I'll finish with this last definition of the word wear-out. It means to impair and to consume and to diminish something by constant friction. But understand this, we're talking in a mental sense only. Mental friction. Opposing thoughts. Now, you thought you knew everything. You thought you had all the answers. Then you come to church and you hear an opposing thought. Now you have mental friction. Now you make the right decision here, but you don't take action on it. So now you leave with two opposing thoughts. And out there, there's friction. And in a mental sense, it starts consuming. What is friction? Remember, this is in a mental sense. Friction is what causes things to wear away. It's what causes things to wear out. It's friction. Now we're talking...